Good evening. Welcome to Berean Baptist Church and our service tonight. Let's start by singing hymn number 252. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 252.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fault, no, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Father, it's nothing that we can do to be born again as believers, as sinners, and then as believers. It's nothing that we can do, but it's by your precious blood. Thank you that you have taken the sin away from us, the sins that we've committed. Lord, help us not to sin. And Lord, I pray that as we work and strive to do that, that we would do it to the best of our ability. Lord, help us to continue to search for your truth and your guidance as we walk daily with you. We pray this in thy name. Amen. Hymn number 242, Come to the Cross of the Lamb of God. 242.
Look to the cross of the Lamb of God, lay all your guilt on him. Freely his lifeblood he sacrificed, paying the debt of our sin. Come to the cross upon Calvary, gaze on the scene anew, turn from your sin to the Savior, there Jesus waits for you. Stand at the tomb where his body lay. Hear how the mourners cry. If they but knew why the Savior came, Jesus left heaven to die. Come to the cross upon Calvary. gaze on the scene anew. Turn from your sin to the Savior. There Jesus waits for you. Kneel at the throne of your risen Lord. Death now has lost its sting. Thanks be to God for the victory. Hail to your conquering King. Come to the cross upon Calvary. Gaze on the scene anew. Sin to the Savior. There Jesus waits for you.
Picked all the songs tonight on Christ's blood. Haven't seen sung these that recently, so I wanted to sing them tonight, all right? 262, there's power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you our evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Verse 4, would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Calvary covers it all. 246. 246.
Far dearer than all that the world can put was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there. And Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told his mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I called on his name, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and shame, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grace, when I looked in the face of this Jesus, my crucified Lord. My redemption complete, I then found at his feet, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all.
Started with nothing but the blood, and we're going to end with nothing but the blood. Different tune, all right? 254. 254. If you found it and are able, would you stand with me and sing? Standing with me as we sing on 254.
When my life is scarred with sin, when I've faith my Lord again, what can make me pure clean within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, my Savior. Nothing but the blood of the Lamb of God. What has power to save? What can wash my sin away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When I stand before God's throne, dressed in beauty not my own, this shall be my song alone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, my Savior. Nothing but the blood of the Lamb of God. What has power to save? What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you for your singing. You may be seated.
Well, good evening. It's good to see you here this evening. We're going to be turning to Revelation chapter 5 and looking at the subject, He is Worthy. He is Worthy. Revelation chapter 5. The book of Revelation is really often misunderstood and misinterpreted. And it is so because there's a rejection of the literal interpretation of its contents in favor of an allegorical or a spiritual approach. And those attempts place the accounts in Revelation in the past or present instead of in the future. And once the plain meaning of the text is denied, then again, what is happening is the readers are left to their own imagination. And they leave the truths of this great book lost in a maze of human interpretations or inventions. So as we approach the book, as we do any other book in the Bible, we do so from a literal, grammatical, historical context. And it gives us the most accurate handling of the text. Let me read Revelation chapter 5, the entire chapter. He is worthy. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lives forever and ever. Father, we thank you for the disclosure of your plan that you have given to us, an understanding of the past, the present, and the future, and what you are going to accomplish. We thank you, Father, for the fact that Jesus Christ is worthy of our praise, worthy to receive honor and glory, and blessing. And I pray, Lord, that we would spend the rest of our lives, and yes, on into eternity, giving him the praise that he deserves, because he indeed is worthy. And we'll thank you for what you will accomplish through us as we learn from your word how to live you better today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Steve, it was encouraging to have you pick songs about the blood, because it talks about here in verse 9, where it says, Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. We have in our world people who do not like this bloody religion, they call it. And they want to shove it aside. Well, we honor that. He died on the cross in our place. He shed his blood for us. So it's good to sing those songs that talk about his shed blood for us. He is worthy. The question that is found here in verse 2, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? You know, as we think about the worth of Christ, the promised Messiah, it's on, Dan. I can hear it. Maybe not as high as it should be, but it's on. He is worthy, as the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world in God's plan. And as we think about it, during his earthly ministry, the religious leaders often questioned him. They looked at him as being a rebel, a person who was stirring up rebellion. And they were afraid that their place in society as the religious leaders of the day would be in jeopardy from the Roman government. That's why one of the reasons they sought to kill him. And they often would ask the question, "Who are you?" In fact, even his disciples wondered, "What manner of man is this that even the winds obey him?" His own family saw him at one point as being beside himself. But as we get to the book of Revelation, again we have the disclosure from the pen of the Apostle John, inspired by the Spirit of God, to point to the one who is worthy, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. He has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And so, as we look at this, my purpose tonight is to take us to this worship scene that focuses on the worthy one, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's given here in chapter 5. The events of this chapter follow closely those of chapter 4, and there the scene is the throne of God in heaven. The cherubim, the 24 elders, the Spirit of God in his sevenfold glory, all present, the elders described in these two chapters, anticipate God's judgment about to strike the earth. And that judgment is detailed for us in Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19. And so the cherubim and the elders are awestruck by the majesty of the throne of God. They begin a series of hymns to him. And those hymns celebrate God as the Creator and the Redeemer. They rejoice that he is about to take back what is rightfully his. Those opening words in chapter 5, "I saw," again introduces the various scenes that John witnessed. And in that vision, John saw in the right hand of him who sat upon the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Now back in that day, Roman wills were sealed up with seven seals. However, this scroll is not a will, but it's a deed, it's a contract. The book or scroll that John saw in God's hand, there is the title deed to the earth. And Christ is going to regain his rightful inheritance by the divine judgments about to be poured out upon the earth. You remember the temptation of Satan to Jesus there in Matthew chapter 4? His proposal to the Lord was, "Bow down before me and all of these kingdoms I will give to you." And the Lord responded, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Because he knew that he was going to inherit the title deed of the earth in the future. And while this scroll that he has here in his hand is a scroll of doom and of judgment, it's also a scroll of redemption. It tells how Christ will redeem the world from Satan and those with him. And so we see here the search for the worthy one, or the challenge of God to those who would read these words. This challenge is proclaimed throughout the universe. Who of all of God's creatures is fit to rule the world? Who of all of God's creatures is fit to rule the whole world? There is no human being alive today that can fill that role. Only Jesus Christ. The strong angel there in verse 2 is not named. Perhaps it's Michael. It could be Gabriel. He speaks with a loud voice so that that proclamation that he brings forth would penetrate every corner of the universe when he says, "Who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof?" And after the echoes of his cry end, there is silence. And the sad truth is, as we read it there in verse 3, And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Many would be willing to take the book and to rule the earth. Think of individuals like Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin. The question was not who is willing. What is the question? Who is worthy? Who is worthy? The ranks of the living and the dead, those on earth, those in heaven, those in hell are combed for a worthy king, but there's not a single one that can be found. Abraham wasn't worthy. Isaac, Jacob, neither Enoch nor Elijah, David nor Solomon, Peter or Paul. A deep silence descends upon the scene, and as every voice is hushed, the angels themselves cease to sing. So not a voice is raised to say, "Here am I, Lord, give me the scroll." And the silence is broken by the sounds of weeping. Although sincere, it's premature. John said, "And I wept much," verse 4, "because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." And here, the aged apostle, amidst this glorious scene of splendor and majesty, weeping, no doubt, in shame for all the sons of Adam's ruined race, not one of them worthy to take up the challenge from the throne. It's probably the only time that tears are seen in heaven. But this weeping, although sincere, was premature. God was about to take action. The search for the worthy one was about to come to an end. And we see here the selection of that worthy one in verses 5 through 7. It is the Christ of God, the Messiah. The selection of Jesus Christ is presented throughout the whole universe. Notice his person in verse 5. He said, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." John's weeping was unnecessary. There was one who was found worthy. And although there was no human or angel found to redeem or to rule the universe, Jesus Christ can and will. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. What a chord the mention of the Lion must have struck in John's soul. For that was the kind of Messiah, you remember, that the Jews had always wanted and were expecting. In fact, that's what hindered many of them from accepting Jesus in his first coming. They were looking for a military king and ruler who would come and overthrow the Roman government and free the Jews from oppression. And they rejected him because he was not that at that time. But he will be at the end of the tribulation. He is going to come in power and in great glory. He's going to put down all of his foes and enemies there at the Battle of Armageddon. He's going to set up the millennial kingdom at that time and rule with a rod of iron. Again, the Jews rejected and crucified him because he failed to live up to their expectations. But they tragically misjudged their Messiah. He is a lion. And he will tear up and destroy his enemies. It's interesting that he is also called the Lamb of God. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, and yet the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Two aspects of his important ministry to sinful mankind. Dying as the Lamb, the once-for-all sacrifice, reigning as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Root of David, a descendant of David, both on Joseph's and his mother Mary's side. And you can read about those genealogies in Matthew's Gospel, I believe also in Luke's. He is the worthy one to take this book because of who he is. He's the rightful king from David's line, and he's also able to do so because of what he is, the Lion from Judah's tribe with power to destroy his enemies. So that's his person, but also, whoops, I didn't mean to do that, his position in verse 6. "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth in all the earth. How could he ever have missed him? As John looked upon this incredible scene, his attention was drawn to what he saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders. And expecting to see a lion, John saw a lamb instead. He saw the Lamb of God. There's another John. You remember who pointed his finger at the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist. John saw a lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ could not be the Lion of Judgment or the King of Glory unless he was first of all the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Perhaps John was so taken up with the sights and the sounds of glory, so occupied with the majestic throne before him, the elders, the cherubim, that he completely missed the Lamb here. Yet the Lamb was in the midst of it all. How often do we do the same? We come to church, we listen to messages from the Bible, we read from the most profound passages in God's Word, we sing the most sublime hymns, and yet we can miss the Lord in all of it. Let's not just go through the motions, but let's worship him, how does John say it in John chapter 4? In spirit and in truth. Look at the passion of the Lord in verse 7. The Greek word for lamb here refers to a little lamb, a pet lamb. The picture comes from the Passover when Jewish families were required to keep the sacrificial lamb as a household pet for 4 days before sacrificing it. And they did that in order that they could examine that little lamb to see if it was the right kind of sacrifice. It had to be pure, without blemish, without any spot. And the Lord is referred to as a lamb twice in the Old Testament, 4 times in the New Testament outside of the book of Revelation. And here in Revelation, he appears as the lamb 31 times. As the lamb he came to save, as the lamb he comes back to subdue. Satan is a great red dragon in the apocalypse, in the book of Revelation. World power is concentrated in the hands of a fearful beast. The militant foes of God are massed upon the earth, in heaven and in hell, and numbered by the countless millions. And against all of this, God brings a little lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. This lamb, as it is described here in verse 6, has the 7 horns of omnipotence and the 7 eyes of omniscience. This lamb is Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, according to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24. And he came, he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now suppose the question had been asked him, "What is the basis of your claim to the title deed of earth?" His reply could have been threefold. "That world is mine by right of creation. I have created it. It is mine by right of Calvary, for I redeemed it and bought it with my blood. And it's mine by right of conquest. For since the only language the unregenerate heart of man understands is the language of power, I'm going back to claim that world in war. The Battle of Armageddon." And so from the moment the lamb is put into the picture, John continues to focus his gaze upon him. He mentions him 4 times within the next several verses. So this worthy one has arrived back to take back what is rightfully his. Now notice the song of the worthy one, or the choice of God, there in verses 8 through the end of the chapter. And this song of the worthy one is praised throughout the universe. And the lamb is introduced, he's worshipped immediately, and is given there to him. He is worshipped, first of all, at the focal center of the universe. In chapter 4, as you go back there, the theme of worship was, "Thou art worthy, for thou hast created." And the theme here is, "Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain." Think of that. That heaven's beloved should beggar himself, should be born in a stable, should be commonly called the carpenter's son, should journey through time as a homeless stranger who had nowhere to lay his head in the very world his hands had made. And John talked about that in his gospel, didn't he? Turn back with me to John chapter 1. These are familiar verses to you. Where he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not made anything that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. He indeed is the Creator. And so the focal center of the universe is upon Jesus Christ, the worthy one. And that this individual, this homeless stranger who came down from heaven, left the ivory palaces of heaven to come to earth, should suffer unspeakable indignities, cruelties at the hands of his creatures, should be crucified there on a cursed cross, and above all should be made sin for us, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. These are wonders that will never cease to draw out the awe and the worship of those at the very focal center of the things in glory. And there in that bright scene of splendor, far beyond the skies, at the very innermost heart of the universe, they worship him. They see no man save Jesus Christ only. They worship him as the Lamb that was slain. It's Calvary that fills their vision, that prompts their worship. And it ought to do that for us as well. And at this very moment, they are doing that there, what we do here when we worship him. When we spread the table, we remember him at the Lord's table. When in scenes of glory, the songwriter said, I sing the new song. It will be the same old story that I have loved so long. And this worship increases as these triumphant anthems swell and roll and thunder out to the farthest reaches of space. All of heaven is filled with the praises to the Lamb. And the theme is, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. So then the focal center of the universe, he is praised. But that's not all. He's also worshipped at the furthest circumference of the universe. And we find that in verses 13 and 14. Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. Boy, it's good to have a strong amen. That's going to be a very strong amen. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, there we go. And the four beasts said, amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. From every possible sphere, from every single tongue, that there rings out an acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, there's another verse in the Bible, in the New Testament, that talks about that as well, in Philippians chapter 2. Turn with me there for just a moment, just to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Verse 9, it says, wherefore, this is chapter 2 of Philippians, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. That's very similar language that John is writing about here in Revelation 5. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will not be a single dissenting voice. And deep in every heart, there will be the absolute conviction that the choice of Jesus Christ is wise, just, blessed, honorable, glorious, and irresistible. God has placed in the hearts of men the decision as to whether or not they will accept Jesus Christ as Savior. But that decision as to whether or not they will acknowledge him as Lord is not theirs to decide. He is Lord, and they will not change it. The supreme tragedy of a lost eternity will be to know that they are shut out from the focal center, sentenced to the farthest, darkest, loneliest extreme of separation. Those who reject him still will have to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. He will be praised at the focal center of things by the sinless sons of light, by the redeemed of all ages, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And he'll be praised at the furthest circumference of things by every damned and outcast soul with sobs and tears and choking cries, because Jesus said often in his ministry of teaching, there should be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Philippians 2, and we looked at those verses. What wonderful verses they are that give us that acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is risen, he's exalted, he is worthy, and his name is Jesus Christ. Knowing him as the worthy one ought to cause us and give us great motivation to worship him on a daily basis, to serve him faithfully with our life. No matter what we face in this world, and we're going to face difficult times. The Bible talks about the times in which we live, they're going to get worse and worse. And we need to be prepared to stand true to his word and to acknowledge him on a daily basis as the worthy one. He indeed is worthy. We're going to turn to 37, I believe it's in your hymn books. Steve will come and lead us in just a moment. But let's pray together before we do that. Father, thank you for the worthy one, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the explanation that is given to us here in Revelation 5 through the pen of the Apostle John, and to the inspiration of your Spirit. It shows to us that scene in heaven where the question is answered, who is found worthy? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lamb who was slain for our sin, he is the one who is worthy. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we praise you for that. Help us, Lord, to be motivated daily to serve him with our life and to give him the praise and honor and blessing and glory that he deserves as the worthy one. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Steve, come and lead us to number 37.
Hymn 37, Worthy is the Lord, Worthy is the Lamb. If you found it, let's stand together and sing, all right? Just a chord is fine.
Weep not, weep not, weep no more, for the one who is found worthy, Jesus Christ the Lord, the Lion of Judah, the Savior, the great I am. Weep not, oh, weep not, behold the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy to receive and riches, worthy to receive wisdom and strength, worthy of honor and glory and blessing, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Fear not, fear not, fear no more, for one unworthy, Jesus Christ the Lord. So adorn the creation and echo the heavenly song. Sing with the angels 100 million strong. Worthy slain. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy to receive river and glory, worthy to receive wisdom and strength, worthy of honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Father, you are worthy of our praise. We can never give you enough praise. Let us continually have a song in our heart that we might honor you with it, that we might remember you with it. And Lord, keep us always looking for your return, and Lord, having our lives pure within. We pray this in thy name. Amen.